Right, I am 3-4.
He's getting injured this week, didn't you know?
You're a funny kind of guy, boy.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, patrons. Happy Friday, which means that it's nearly the weekend, which means it's time for some football, James. Football.
It's a bit shit after that podcast earlier, isn't it?
Football. Yeah, we have to talk about boring stuff like FPL.
Boo.
Well, let's not get too FPL heavy and let's get straight into the predictions for the games.
Okay, let's do that.
First up.
Oh, it's my lot, isn't it?
I've got Tottenham 2, Wolves 0 down.
2-0 Spurs, eh? What's your thinking?
Yeah. I mean, Wolves ain't been up to too much yet. New boy at Wolves ain't going to start.
I wouldn't have thought so.
Although, for us, Akera came on last night and got minutes straight away as a sub. We have defensive problems, so we're probably trying to fast track him. But I don't think Newboy will start for Wolves. Although, if he's had pre-season and he's definitely good enough to go straight into their first team, he might. But either way, I back you guys to do okay. 2-0.
I've got nothing else to add. I've got exactly the same. Just a note on many of you might have seen some predictions being shared from Football London. They're three Tottenham journalists. Two of them have predicted Perisic to start. Two of them have predicted Richarlison to start. In the small print on that article, it basically says the teams that they would pick, not the team that they think Antonio Conte will pick, which is interesting. As ever, usual caveat. Perisic, Doherty, yes, they could play. Yes, Richarlison could play. Conte's comments yesterday suggested it's going to be the same team. 2-0, I think. Wolves are a team we've had difficulty with. They've won the last two meetings. That's not true. They've won the last two meetings in front of fans at White Hart Lane. We beat them behind closed doors in the full COVID season. We've never given them a beating properly. I think what I'm most interested to see tomorrow from Wolves' perspective is what their mentality is, because we don't know yet, as they've obviously switched to a back four. We don't know if they want to come and press, if they want to go deep and put a low block up. We don't know yet how they will play with a back four against a big six opponent. Tomorrow, we're going to find out.
We then have Crystal Palace, the early kickoff, not the early kickoff, the next game at 3 o'clock on Saturday. I've got Palace down, James, for a 2-0 win as well. Two home wins, 2-0.
I've got 1-0 to Crystal Palace. This feels like a typical Aston Villa win one, lose one. I feel like we might be on this sort of trend with them. Bad result, good result. Bad result, I think, this week. By the way, I got you next week, so might be good result. That said, they got West Ham in game week, Man City in game week 6, so this good result, bad result isn't going to last forever. I don't read too much into them beating Everton, right? Not at all. Mm-hmm. Palace, I think, have impressed in the two games, really. The 1-point return from Arsenal and Liverpool is okay, to be totally honest. What I'm most interested in from this one is if people begin to take Palace differently in terms of a threat. So they played a back five at Liverpool. We don't expect them to stick with that. We would expect them to go back to a back four. When they signed Richards in the summer, we spoke to Mig that he probably wouldn't move to a back three because you haven't really got enough players to do it. Like, if you lose one, you're straight away back to a back four. But obviously, Joel Ward played right-sided centre-back, so maybe that possibility is there for them to do so when you consider there's people in the squad like James Tompkins as understudies as well. I think they will go back to a back four. I'm interested to see, because Villa will probably play with Watkins and Ings again, I'm guessing, if they try to do anything about Anderson and his distribution. That's something to watch out for. We spoke about that after the Palace-Arsenal game. Our team's going to try and do something to stop Anderson playing direct balls. Well, not long balls, direct balls.
Everton 0, Nottingham Forest 1 is my prediction for that game.
Wow,
yeah. Have we got any striking news from Everton?
Yeah, Dele Alli's going to Besiktas.
Oh. Is he?
Apparently, yeah.
Wow.
What?
On loan?
No, permanent, I think.
What?
Yeah.
6 months he's lasted
one,
there.
One for Tottenham Wednesday, maybe.
I'm so blown away.
I take it you think Forest win because Everton can't score goals.
Yeah. And Forest defended all right. They defended, their body's on the line. They'll put a shift in, and I reckon they're going to nick it 1-0.
I think it's easy to overlook the strong home form that Everton showed towards the back end of last season. That said, it obviously had Richarlison as part of those home results, which it doesn't now. I've got 1-1. I'm probably in agreement with you, Suge, that I would see Forest as the more likely winner, which, I mean, just saying that out loud is unbelievable for Everton. Interest to see if Onana plays. What's his name?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Onana.
Thank you very much. Did you see they did that on Match of the Day?
No.
It was so bad. It's probably as bad as we just did it just now.
Some jokes that are just done before they're done, you don't need to
get. Obviously, Forrest to get in Morgan Gibbs-White through the door. I presume he's not going to play tomorrow. And a lot of people say, where's he going to play? Where's he going to play? They've already got Lingard. Well, maybe the solution here is that they're going with both. When Sheffield United came up under Chris Wilder, they regularly played 3-4-1-2. Not in the same way that Forest do, because Forest forwards have a greater distance apart. But then when they got into our league, they changed and they went to a 3-4-2-1. And I wonder if that's where Forest are going. 3-4-2-1 with Lingard and Gibbs-White behind one forward might be the way they're going. So I'd keep an eye on Forest's shape tomorrow from that. But I think they'd get signed. I've got 1-1.
Fulham-Brentford. I've gone with an away win here, James. 3-1.
It's bold.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be easy for Brentford, but I think they've found a formation, a style of play, and a group of players that's clicking at the moment. And they've got the experience in the Premier League. They're streetwise. I think they're going to get a result done. And Fulham will give them a tough game. I think Fulham will have chances. But I think Brentford will go 3-1.
Well, I've got this down as surprise result the weekend, because I don't think many people are going to agree with this. I've got 2-1 Fulham. I think we are in serious danger of overestimating that Brentford played Manchester United last week and Manchester United at the bottom of the league. And I think it's very easy to forget that Fulham have had two good results. Drawing with Liverpool and drawing at Wolves. I remember they missed the penalty at Wolves at 0-0. I know Wolves had chances. They're two very good results. So they're in a decent position themselves. With what they've got to come in the next sort of four games or so, I think Fulham will be right out trying to win this. And Brentford, psychologically, with their fixture run to come, might not be of the same mentality. So I'm going to go 2-1 Fulham. I'm interested to see if the back three sticks for Brentford, because that's what they switched to from 2-0 down at Leicester. Whether that's the right thing for them to do playing against a side like Fulham, I'm not sure. I don't know at this moment if Andreas Pereira is fit or not, but it will be interesting to see if he is, if he impresses against Brentford in the same way he impressed against Liverpool, because he might not find space in quite the same way. I'm actually going to back Fulham to win this 2-1. And bless you, Suge.
Excuse me.
You're welcome, mate.
Leicester, Southampton. I'm going to let you go first.
3-2 to Leicester.
Whoa! I've got 2-0 to Leicester. I do think Leicester will win. I can't see Southampton scoring
too long. Are you ignoring the, as I said, stolen from above average FPL, every Leicester game starts at 1-1?
Well, yeah, let's see. I suppose I'm poo-pooing Southampton's ability to score goals. Yeah.
I know at our time of recording, which is 2 p.m. in the afternoon, Sam Martin has tweeted saying he doesn't think Fofana will play tomorrow.
Okay.
Does that change your prediction?
2-1 then. I still think Leicester will win. I think Leicester will win.
I'm going 3-2. The systems for both teams in this could be quite interesting. Leicester have kind of been forced into a back three because Harvey Barnes has been injured. Harvey Barnes is fit, though. Whether he starts, I don't know. But if he does, Leicester will probably change to a back four. And if Fofana isn't going to be available, then that also adds weight to the change of the back four. Ralph Hasenhüttl made very interesting comments about 4-2-2-2 because they themselves have been going a back three. At 2-0 down against Leeds last week, they went back to the tried and trusted from previous seasons and got back into the game. It makes you think, oh, go back to that. He spoke at length this week, really interestingly, about being cautious with this system, 4-2-2-2. So basically, it's too intense. We can't play it all the time anymore. So they're going to pick and choose their moments, basically. So I think from Southampton, what you may get is more fluctuation of system within games in the coming weeks. I think they would be better off going back to that back four system, but I understand his reason for not doing it.
Okay. Bournemouth at home to Arsenal. I've got 3-0 to Arsenal on this one.
Not to Bournemouth,
comfortable,
no.
Comfortable away win. No, not to Bournemouth, I'm afraid.
Does that mean Gabriel Jesus?
Sorry, Bournemouth.
Does that mean Gabriel Jesus is your captain this week?
He is, as we stand right now.
I'm going to do the same. I don't share quite your confidence. I've got 2-0 to Arsenal. I'm interested to see. This is where I think sometimes Arteta overthinks things. So I've spoken a lot about them potentially moving into this 2-3-5 system without the ball, a la what we saw from Man City at West Ham in game week one. City had real success not doing that against Bournemouth and obviously pushing Cancelo from basically left back to left wing and moving Foden inside. So you would think in your mind, right, well, Arteta's a Guardiola copycat. He'll do exactly the same thing. It makes me think he'll do the opposite.
And we might
see this on Saturday night, this 2-3-5 in possession, where you'll have White and Zinchenko really tuck into narrow spaces. So something to watch out for, because they definitely did it against Seville in pre-season. We haven't seen it yet in the league. I'm going to go 2-0 Arsenal.
Leeds at home to Chelsea. It's it's the Sunday kickoff, 2:00. I have a way win on this one, James. I'm backing Chelsea. After their performance against you guys, I think they played really well. They've got a good system. They've obviously solid. What's the news on Kante? Do we know? Is he out for a while? Is he all right?
A month, probably, but not confirmed at the time of recording.
So he is out.
He won't play this weekend. I'm almost certain of that.
I've got 2-0 to Chelsea for this one.
Yeah, I've got the same. Very impressed with them last week. I think most of us were. I'm interested to see a little bit kind of like in Wolves' case, but even more so with Leeds. The players they've got, people like Aronson, are really built into the idea of going and pressing the opposition. I'm interested to see if they do it. Chelsea have had success against Leeds in the past when Leeds have come for them quite hard. So I think 2-0 Chelsea as well.
And we move on to the London Stadium, West Ham, Brighton, also at 2:00. I have down 1-1, the Brighton special, James. Originally, I was going to go 2-1 to Brighton, but I think West Ham defensively. Agbonna got through most of the game yesterday, so good to see him fit. They played Kehrer as well, so I might be the end of Ben Johnson as a centre-back, or it might be back to go get to a back
what
three.
What was it last night? Back four?
Yeah, back four. I thought, because Harrison Ashby missed a backward pass yesterday. He played right back and Soufal played left back. And then Cornet played in front of Soufal as left winger. But I thought there was a chance that Soufal would be right centre back.
Cornet left wing back.
But he didn't. Soufal played left back, Harrison Ashby right back, and then Cornet was basically winger. And he obviously put the cross in for the first goal.
I think
did okay.
We've spoken about this, and I don't think you'll move from a back four at the weekend, but we've spoken about this possibility for you. I think particularly when Cresswell's obviously available. Cresswell and Cornet together means you can move within systems. We've had times when Cresswell and Masuaku have played together, and it's actually been difficult to tell at times if it's back four or back three, because you tend to end up with an imbalance. And I think that might be the longer-term goal with Cresswell and Cornet. I don't expect that this weekend, though. I think the one to watch is Trossard. Pervis Estupinan has obviously been bought from Villarreal. He's more winger than fullback, if you will. Probably, I don't know if he can play left-sided centre-back, but probably going to become Brighton's new regular left wing-back. And as Sam Murray will confirm, Trossard is certainly part of Brighton's best 11, so possibly closer to goal. So something to keep an eye on. That said, I think you'll win Sunday, Suj. I'm going to go 2-1 West Ham.
Okay. Newcastle against Manchester City, the 4:30 game. Not going to make it home for the first half, but we'll see. I might get the train on Sunday, you know, which means leaving the kids at home.
I'm going to take the game Sunday. Phone off for me on Sunday, by the way. No, guys. We're going to, is it Gulliver's? Milton Keynes?
Gulliver's Land.
That's the one, yeah. We're going there on Sunday.
Nice.
Yay.
Two.
I wish you could see on the video my pumped fist at this.
I've got 2-0 City.
Well, I can't predict every Big Six team to win 2-0 this weekend, can I?
Yes.
That'd be one hell of an accumulator. No, I think Newcastle will score, actually.
Well, Liverpool are playing United and they're both considered Big Six, so that would be difficult to do.
Did I say six? I meant five, obviously.
You did, because there is only a Big Five.
I think Newcastle will score. I think if you haven't heard the conversation from Clash of the Correspondents, it's certainly after the halfway mark where we start talking tactically about what might happen on Sunday. Really interesting what Si said, that he thought they'd go for it, which only adds to the appeal of Manchester City assets if they do. So I'm interested to see what that approach is going to be from Newcastle. I'm going to go 2-1 to City.
Okay. Last but not least, the cricket match on Monday night. I say that because it could be a big score.
Do you know what? It's so funny you say that, right? So on for the deadline stream, there's the correct scores I have up for all the games. And basically all I do is just input the scores. Captain all sets it up for me. I input the scores. But all I tend to do is put the score over whatever was in for the same fixture in the same position last week. He doesn't take the scores out. I just go in and change them. And every time I tried to put in a 2 for Liverpool, the one that was there from last week wouldn't remove. So it just kept saying 0-12 all the fucking time. So 12-0 Liverpool. You've heard it. You've heard it here first. No, I'm going to go for 2-0 to Liverpool.
Same as me.
I think they're liable to get slaughtered, United, if they don't deal with the turnovers. The turnovers was a huge problem in the games last year, was thinking, yeah, we can get in Liverpool's face and try and press, and Liverpool on turnovers just ripping them to shreds. They have to play pragmatic. Doesn't matter what anybody wants to say. They have to play pragmatic, and if they do so, they can potentially get something out of the game, because in players like Rashford and Sancho, if they show up much in the same vein as Zaha and Eze, they do have the pace to potentially hurt Liverpool. Joe Gomez has trained well all week. I think that's a major plus for Liverpool. And I would expect Jordan Henderson's start as well. So the team should be stronger than the team that drew with Palace. United have to get this so tactically right to get something out of the game, as far as I'm concerned. And I don't think they will. I really think United should go 5-4-1 and shut it. I don't think they will.
Cool. I'm like you. I've predicted 2-0s and all the big five, except Arsenal. I've gone 3. Let's talk about FPL, your team, my team. Let's talk about my team because it's just not that exciting. I'm making no transfers, James. I'm going to roll. And that's that, really. Do we know anything about Andres Pereira?
Not at time of recording, no. Are you intending to start him? You've got a tough call there, haven't you?
No, I'm going to play Nico Williams as it stands. Unless if Pereira's fit, maybe I will go with him. But I'm lined up with Alisson in goal, Trent, Perisic, Cancelo, Nico Williams as a back four as it stands. Kulu, Luis Diaz, Martinelli, Kevin De Bruyne across the midfield, Jesus, captain, Haaland up top. Kulu I've put as a vice captain, actually. My bench is Danny Ward. Pereira I've left first sub now, but subject to move. Nathan Patterson, and then Cameron Archer. I'll go into the following week on two transfers. Moves on my mind at the moment are going from Alisson to David Raya, but I'll probably do that after the Bournemouth game, after game week 4 into game week 5. And that frees me up £1 million because Newcastle, Everton, Wolves, Chelsea, Brighton, Arsenal. It's not a City, West Ham. It's not a bad run for Liverpool, but I think with Brentford's run, chances of clean sheets in that period are probably roughly the same for both of those guys, or not worth the million anyway. And then it frees me up a Liverpool slot, and it also frees me up £1 million, and I'll have a look at it. Also, depending on what happens with Perisic, eventually, I'm Reece James, all eyes are on him. He's obviously gone up in price this week as well. Alisson to Raya, maybe Perisic to Reece James. All things and thoughts in my mind, but I'm not doing anything just yet.
Just on Pereira, news from Peter Rutzler, who covers Fulham. He's quoted Silver as saying, on team news, he says, it's the same as last week. Therefore, I would assume that Andreas Pereira is fit. Your mate Manchild, you might want to get a message to him, though. So looking through Mr. Rutzler's tweets, he says, Rodrigo Cash Muniz, he's on his way to Middlesbrough.
Okay.
We weren't playing for Fulham anyway, so I don't suppose he's particularly bothered. But yeah, just let him know. No more Muniz. It's gone. It's over. It's game.
All right.
What do you do if you get a...
Yo, Manchild. Cash Muniz. Muniz is moving to Middlesbrough, so you need to move him from your FPL team, blood. Now he knows.
I take it your intention is to start Perisic.
Yes.
What if you get news?
That he's definitely not starting?
Well, yeah, if we get something, yeah.
I'll probably still start him. He'll come off the bench, man. He'll come off the bench. Like he did last week. And whack me in a cheeky little assist or a goal this time. And shut everyone up who's saying that he needs to move on.
Okay.
Keeping the faith for now, James.
Okay.
And he did, look, last week he played 11 minutes. He'd still pick me up a return, didn't he?
I want him to play.
Me and too. I do think this game against Wolves is going to be a chance to get him minutes. And, like, you're firm favourites for this game. Chelsea, you are not. But this is a home game, firm favourites. If there's an opportunity to give him a run out, this has surely got to be it.
There is one interesting thing to say about this. Let's say sub. And let's say Tottenham are winning 1-0 going into the last 25 minutes. He brings him on. And Bruno Lage decides to respond by bringing on Adama Traore. It's a mismatch.
Yeah, but just play Davinson Sanchez left-sided centre-back and get him to just take him out.
There is zero chance of that happening. The only way that Davinson Sanchez, by the way, doesn't start the game for Tottenham tomorrow is if something happens to his body between now and kickoff. Honestly, it's not up for debate.
Okay.
Who's going to play wing back? I have no idea. But there's zero doubt that Davinson Sanchez will start for Tottenham if he is fit tomorrow. None of this long lay and stuff. People saying long lay, we've never seen him play. Can't play right-sided centre-back. Yeah. Neither can Ben Davis. He's not going to move Eric Dier there. It's just not even a conversation. I made 2 free transfers this week, which were both done very early in the week. I sold Matty Cash for Ryan Sessegnon. And I sold Kieran Trippier for Reece James. Leaves me this week with the sexiest back five I've ever seen in my fucking life, so long as Ryan Sessegnon starts. And even though I've done the transfer, I want Perisic to play, by the way. So I'll be Ramsdale in goal, Trent, Robertson, Cancelo, Reece James, Ryan Sessegnon, midfield three of Sonny, Diaz, Martinelli, up front, Haaland, Jesus. I am going Jesus captain over Son.
Vice?
I think he's really, really close between the two. If someone's got a preference for that the other way around, there's possibly a little bit of... You know, I said earlier in the week, I have to be careful that I'm not captaining Son on the basis that I didn't sell him for De Bruyne, i.e. being too rigid and sticking to the plan. It is possible I've gone too far the other way consciously of that. Because when you look at it on paper, Jesus, I'm predicting Arsenal to win 2-0. Son, I'm predicting Tottenham to win 2-0. In theory, Jesus could score and it's 6 points. Son could score and it could be 11. It's truth. Now, that could be that Son scores and it's 8 and Jesus gets top bonus and it's 9. It can go that way as well. But actually, the difference between the two, but doing the same thing, could be 5 points. Think about that and go, it's Son, isn't it?
Yeah.
Heung-min Son's never scored against Wolves. You also, I think, very importantly, rather than looking at it against Wolves, he wasn't good against Burnley in game week 37. And Nathan Collins played. And Nathan Collins will obviously play that kind of inside right of the defence tomorrow as well. So that's the influence of going Jesus over Son. And also, a little bit of belief has already seen in this season that Tottenham are beginning to find more avenues to goal than just Kane and Son. So I'm going with Jesus, captain.
Cool. Do the dead team differentials.
All that jazz, yeah.
I forgot to do a minus 56. And I only just remembered now.
You haven't done
That's it. It's all right, though. I'm doing it now. Don't worry.
God, you're so much.
I'm so good at this.
Fucking trouble, honestly.
I batted you last week.
You're like, yeah, I got a bone to pick with you as well. When you get in your minus 56, can you? In fact, don't do that. Are you in your?
Oh no, it's my regular team. I need to come out of the league.
Can you do that?
Yeah, let me do it now.
Like brain damage. I'm like, why is Suj his regular team in the head to head?
So many links. Everyone keeps sending me.
There's no head to head. You fucked the head to head league.
Where are we? Head to head. Suj and James. There's James and Suj and Suj and James. Why can't they both be Suj? This is minus 56.
Just click on
versus it. Versus minus 56.
Yeah, and take your team out the minus 56 one. Leave league. I can't even delete. I can't even delete you from it.
How do I leave this league?
I don't know. I can't even delete you. You've ruined everything. Name. You've ruined the differential show for the whole season.
How do you leave a league?
I don't Options, know.
Standings, matches. Right,
can someone
offensive name.
DM Suj so he can pick it up in game week 25 and let him know how he can leave a head-to-head league? Could you even leave a head-to-head league? I don't know. Anyway, all right. Plonker you are. Still love you and stuff, but you're a fucking plonker. Right, dead team. We got 60 points last week, Suj.
Decent.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Any week of 60 points, I'll take.
3 for Trent, 4 for Perisic, 7 Cancelo, 7 Reece James, 7 Wilfred Zaha, 19 Gabriel Jesus, captain blank, and a missed penalty. 60 doesn't sound bad when that sort of week is happening. The dead team, top 5 for Galaxy. I've gone extra now, Suj. Top 5. Game week 2. Oscar Gamble, Ross Harrison, FPL Mango, Phil Broadbent. But the winner for game week 2 by a clear 8 points, game week score of 95. Apo Hollanti is up to 9th overall. Returns for James, Cancelo, Trippier, Jesus, Harry Kane, Jesse Lingard, captain Kevin De Bruyne, 94 points. Also means I can read out the worst 5 zombie teams of last week as well. James Rogers, Mark Hammond, FPL Badger, Mickey Race, Ryan Quinn, all between 31, 36. One person was below 30. It's our friend FPL Cricketer on 28. I'll read the whole team because it's just so amusing. Mendy 1, Gabriel 1, Van Dijk 2, Trent 3, Salah 4, Saka 2, Mount 2, Bruno Guimaraes 3, Jared Bowen 2, Ivan Tony 9. Alexander Mitrovic minus 1. Got me thinking, Suj, there must be teams out there that had like Saliba own goal, Dean own goal, Mitrovic missed penalty, Darwin red card. That team must exist out there somewhere from last week.
You reckon?
Yeah, I'd say so. Someone, find me the team and pop it in FPL disasters. The differential league, Suj, we have started with an absolute fucking nightmare. But don't worry, we've got the best captain in the game this week. 34 points for us last week includes Luca Dean's minus one.
I
know. Timothy Castagne, 7. Obviously, Joel Matip, no show, not helpful. Madison, 7. Sterling, 5. Watkins, 11. That's our lot. Top five managers a week. Scoring, really low scoring week. So there were three players on 60. Third place, Jake Reed, 61. Russell Clark, 62. Winner out in front, Denise Parker. I think that's our mate Bradley going undercover here. 68 points. Returns for Pope, Koulibaly, Phil Foden, Wilfred Zaha, captain Raheem Sterling, Ivan Toney, and Ollie Watkins. Game week score of 68. There were only six in the differential league over 59. Wooden spoons, there's some crackers here. You've got Sydney FC Kennedy and Craig Payne on 23. Juno Cowie, 22. Armole on 18, as is Monica Laslett. A pair of them on 18 points with like a Sterling assist. Boom, get in there. Fantastic. Right, Suj, we are set up this week with a bus team of the following. Hugo Lloris in goal, back three of Castagne, Gabriel, Luca Dean, midfield four, Jared Bowen, Dejan Kulusevski, James Maddison, Raheem Sterling up front, Ollie Watkins, Callum Wilson, and Jamie Vardy. Matip injured, Doherty unlikely to play, Brendan Aaronson in reserve. We have 0.4 in the bank should you wish to make any changes. What are you thinking? And no, we can't have Andy Robertson.
He's over, is he?
10% at cutoff, exactly. So cannot buy him.
Yeah.
But it's worth saying, obviously, unless he returns well at Manchester United, we can buy him next week.
Anyone from Brentford take your fancy? I'm quite hot on Brentford at the moment. I know you're maybe less so. I'm quite hot on Brentford at the moment.
Well, I'm trying to think ahead here and go, There's a potential opportunity to get Robertson in, and we have to take that if it becomes available next week.
Okay.
The closest we'd be to getting him is obviously Matip at the moment. So we could move Matip to Robertson next week. Or we move Matip right down now, move Luca Dean towards Robertson next week. In any case, we need to come down to basically 4.3 or lower. Therefore, it's the 4 million guys, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can't have Nico Williams.
His ownership's too high.
Can have Patterson.
Patterson's probably the sensible one. I mean, Nat Phillips played last week. I don't know if you fancy that. But does that mean he's not going to leave the club and go to Bournemouth at all?
I don't know. But with Matip out and Doherty not playing, we can't really take that gamble.
Yeah. I agree. Patterson's the right one. I don't think over the course of the whole season you'll end up being that good an asset. But fine.
But he'd sit sub regularly, wouldn't he?
Yeah. I'm cool with that. Patterson's the one.
Who do we sell? Matip, Doherty?
Fucking, do you know I want to sell Luca Dean?
Well, yeah, but...
but he's, that's the emotion in me. He wants to get rid of that body. Bastard.
It's not the right answer.
I agree. If Gomez is doing really well, I don't see Matip starting. Doherty's not going to start either, to be fair, either.
Should we take Matip?
Do you have a preference?
Well, it could be one suddenly where Doherty, I don't know, plays tomorrow, right? Whereas Matip definitely isn't. So it feels like at the moment, cut him off and leave the money in the bank, ready to get Robertson in for Doherty or Dean next week.
Fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. Let's do that then. Patterson in. Gives us loads in the bank then. We're comfy. We can do it. Okay, cool. Captain. That's fairly obvious, isn't it?
Who do you want to go with?
Jamie Vardy.
Yeah, I've got Madison in my minus 56 now, and I think he could be an interesting shout for captaincy.
Sterling, Vardy, Maddison, Kulusevski, Bowen, preference?
Sterling, Maddison, Vardy, Kulusevski, Bowen. Preference of what? To play or vice-captain?
No, it's captain. All right.
Not Bowen. Not Bowen. Right, here comes... You've only predicted a one-goal win for West Ham. Did you pick 1-0 or 2-1?
2-1.
He looked, you know what, Bowen yesterday, he looked bang back to some fitness. He was lively, he was dribbling. I'm not giving you this information so that you can do anything with in terms of picking him as captain, but he did look like he was back to some kind of fitness and a little bit better of form. So there you go.
I put a poll on Patreon early today, and I think the results are very understandable in terms of captaincy. There's been 173 votes so far, 50%, 57% going Salah, 24% Jesus, 6% Haaland, 6% Son. There's bits and bobs everywhere else. But from those 173 votes, there isn't a single one for Jamie Vardy. If I own Jamie Vardy this week, I'll be captaining him. I think he's the best captaincy in the game this week.
And if you think that, then I think we should go for it.
Straightforward. Honestly, at the moment on the graphic for Deadline Stream, I got Jamie Vardy first for captaincy this week, which is going to piss some people off. I don't really care. It's going to lead to some fun questions, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what we're saying, Vardy, captain, Maddison, vice? That's why I've got it bust.
Vardy, captain, Maddison, vice. Yeah, go on.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is going to be 9-0 round two, James.
Well, there's that as well, isn't there? Yeah. Okay. Right. Minus 56. 53 points for myself, as Suj said. Well beat. William Saliba's own goal didn't do me any favours. Basically, my returnees were the excellent Manchester City front three. Haaland 10, De Bruyne 14, Cancelo 11. He also got 9 for Ivan Tony. What did you get, Suj?
66.
Nice.
Why is it telling me that I've only got 50? I've only taken a minus 52 as it stands.
Because you probably got one player in there who you had last week, didn't you? Now you've got to try and work out who it is. Don't worry.
It's fucking annoying when
I'm going to give you some time to blag. So, top five.
Yeah. Do you know what? Basically, the difference between you and me last week was...
Captain De Bruyne,
Dean Henderson in goal.
Oh, Dean Henderson.
No, I captained Haaland. But yeah, Dean Henderson in goal, mate. He done the business for me.
Nicely 14 done.
14-pointer.
Good to see as well that the two managers who forgot to do it had already removed themselves before I went round to do it. But
okay,
good good ratio this week. Very good, guys. It's easy at the start. Less easy when you're 18th in the league come March. Survival of the fittest. Yeah. Top five performers for last week. Jenny Amrigham, Matt Thompson, Sophia Caddy, Ricky's dog. These correspondents keep lurking everywhere, don't they? Minus 56, Milburn with minus 56ers, 94 points last week. Henderson, 14, Cancelo, 11, De Bruyne, 14, Martinelli, 8, Luis Diaz, 9, Jesus, 19, Captain Haaland, 10. Even smashed it on the bench as well as 21 points on the bench on top of that.
Wow.
As well. Super weak. Wooden Spoon. The five lowest scorers. Aaron Frost, Roger Staud, BM Morrison, Alex Turner, lowest of the lot with 30. R. Clark, 6 for Aki, 9 for Foden, 10 for Haaland.
That's it. Okay.
Net minus 26. Have you done your team yet, Suj?
Nearly. I've got 10.7 for a striker and a midfielder. So let's pick a shit striker first. Who's the shittest of the shit strikers?
Do I have to... The shittest of the shit strikers? Archer, Greenwood, whatever.
Cameron Archer. In he goes. Oh, no, I had him last week.
You're not going to make me go first here, are you?
Greenwood. Yeah, go first.
No.
Oh, tradition. You want to stick to tradition?
Yes, I want to stick to tradition, yes.
If I buy Martinelli, I don't know to... Yeah, I'm going to buy Martinelli. Done. All right. I am lined up, James, with Mendy in goal.
Yeah.
I've got an all-in strategy here. I don't know if you're going to like it. Koulibaly, Cucurella, so triple Chelsea defence.
Okay.
And I've added in Saliba alongside them. So three at the back. My midfield, as it stands, oh, I can't have Martinelli. I'm going to pick someone else. Is Son, Salah, captain, James Maddison, and I have space for Luis Diaz and a 6.2 midfielder. I might get Jesse Lingard, you know. And up top, I've got Jesus and Ivan Toney. Fuck it, let's get Jesse Lingard. Shits and giggles.
Captain?
Mo Salah, obviously. He's playing the team that are bottom of the league, didn't you know?
Yeah, I personally would have Mo Salah captain next week against Bournemouth, but there we go. Right, I am 3-4-3.
He's getting injured this week, didn't you know?
You're a funny kind of guy, boy. I have in goal Crystal Palace's Vicente Guata. Back three of, I want to kill myself, Emerson Royal, Ryan Sessegnon, and Reece James. Midfield four of Heung-Min Son, James Maddison, Ilkay Gundogan, and Raheem Sterling. Up front, Alexander Mitrovic, Gabriel Jesus, captain Jamie Vardy. On the bench, Sam Johnston, Keenan Dewsbury Hall. And the two 4.0s will probably cancel each other out and both get 2 points tomorrow. Patterson and Williams.
Okay, sounds like a plan. Yeah, I've just smashed mine out for no reason very quickly. Sky Fantasy Football, James, has wrapped that up.
Romero.
So, Romero is the question. At the moment, I have 0.1 in the bank.
Yeah.
Not sure where I'm going to go. Like, there's a few that stand out. I think Joachim Anderson might be an interesting one, but I don't know if their run of fixtures is good enough. Kieran Trippier is another one. But I could go to midfield as well, because I'm 5-3-2. So Christian Eriksen, Jesse Lingard, Saïd Benrahma, Leandro Trossard. There's a number of options.
I'm going to go, I think, and I haven't decided for certain, but I think I'm going to go for Saliba.
What price is
7.4.
he? 7.4. Oh, wow, that's cheap.
I just think it's one of them where he's opened up, there's no entry point. I don't need him, but then it's 7.4. I feel like we might be in a place at the moment where, oh, I need that second enabler. I need that second enabler. 7.4 is nearly it, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if he stays there, all right, so I've got Jesus as well as cover, and I can't see there's many games I'd actually captain Saliba over Jesus at the moment, to be honest. But yeah, I think that's probably the right call at the moment for me. I think it's going to be Saliba. I am tempted to punt Ryan Sessegnon if he starts tomorrow at 7.5. I can't get up to 8, so I've only got 0.1 in the bank. So I think it's going to be Saliba. I've seen a few people talking about the Brentford assets. I think that's absolutely fine, by the way. I think Hickey would probably be the one to go to, 7.3. Webster on second thoughts, I think he's avoidable at 7.4. Because we don't know the situation with Estupinan yet. And obviously, Levi Colwell's not gone there on loan not to play. So he's going to get in at some point as well. So Webster, I would avoid. Brentford is okay. It's not going to be tears there and stuff. But Hickey might get you the odd attack in return and some tackles. I'm going to go Saliba, though.
My alternative, James, is to go to Casado.
Yeah, I can't do that because I'm 4-5-1 at the moment. So I am stuck. Oh, I am stuck with defenders or very light, shall we say, forwards. So it'd be Saliba for me. If you want to go Casado, I'm cool with that. That
it feels like
that puts you with three enablers, basically, doesn't it?
No. Yeah, Paulinho, Nico Williams, and Casado. If I do that, I'll have money to really be aggressive. But I look at Brighton's run. They've got West Ham, but then they've got Leeds, Fulham, Leicester, Bournemouth, Palace.
Fixtures are irrelevant for him.
Him.
Midfield enabler. The fixtures are relevant.
Mm. If I go Casado, then that frees me up some money. But then I've got Jesus, Haaland, Salah, Rodri, Van Dijk, Cancelo, Eric Dier. David Raya. I don't know what I'd do with my Hokey Cokies.
I think, honestly, I think that could be a really, really strong play for you to go that way. Think of it like this, Suj. There's certain players, you might not see it now, but there's certain players in this game at the moment that feel unobtainable. I feel like Jared Bowen's one, for example, where that's going to allow you to be like Hokey Cokey and at the right time, like a Rodri to Jared Bowen and stuff like that. You've got the transfers in hand to do it as well. I think you should probably go that way. And it should really give you the flexibility to just power from premiums to premiums. That said, with the powering from premiums to premiums, there's not long left now. Remember, once we get into this Champions League period, the Champions League teams are going to play Saturdays and Europa teams are going to play Sundays, basically, nearly every week. So this jumping on and off is going to calm down really, really quickly, I think. I'd be very tempted to go down that route with Casado, though. Very tempted.
Cool. All right.
What did it leave you in the bank?
It will leave me Romero 7.8 and Casado 6.7. So that's 1.1 and I've already got 0.1. So leave me 1.2 in the bank if I made
And to be honest, Romero's return will probably put more in the bank for you. Because
Romero's return?
You'll probably want to get him back.
Yeah. For who, though, at the time?
That's not to worry about at the moment. I think, by the way, Conte said yesterday that Romero said he wanted to play. All the reports from Tottenham suggest it's going to be a few weeks, other than what Antonio Conte said yesterday. I would be surprised if he's back to play Nottingham Forest next week, would be my opinion. And that, therefore, makes him very doubtful for the two games afterwards, because there's only 3 days on to West Ham, another 3 days on to Fulham. All I care about is that he's back for Manchester City on September the 10th.
Cool. Alrighty. Listeners, hope you enjoyed this differential show and it's helped you out with any decisions you've got to make. James will be live tomorrow with the old deadline stream, and there'll be a team news stream for the advanced tiers later on today, I'm assuming, James.
Yeah, 5 o'clock tonight for the team news stream. Deadline stream is 10 o'clock tomorrow. It will end immediately at deadline. Because travel is shit at the moment. And I need to get...
There's no trains and shit. You just need to get...
No, there is, actually.
Get a cab. Oh, there is, yeah?
There's 2 an hour, so I can get an 11:21. So I need to get out of here and get that train 20 minutes later. So, yeah, there's no fucking about tomorrow.
Nice. Good, good. Have a great weekend, folks, and I'll see you next week. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Play it your way. Have a great weekend. Cue music, please, man child. The Fantasy Football Show.